up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. We got a short, small platoon tonight. It's just Statler and Waldorf of the platoon. It's Pete and Derek. everyone is else, but you and I always have fun together.
I know everybody's on vacation except for you and I. And we're going to have a good time because we're going to talk about one of our favorite things, which is old Walt Disney Disneyland episode.
Yeah. And this one is interesting because it's listed as a separate show, but it was originally an episode of the Disneyland program. It's called The Plausible Impossible. And basically what it does is it's Walt and the different animators showing basically the physical tricks that they can do with animation that they can't do with real life actors. Mm-hmm. They use different clips of different older Disney things. They use Mickey through the Looking Glass. They use Not on Bald Mountain from Fantasia. And I'm surprised actually that they played the entire thing on that one. Yeah. They use the when Donald's
Gus
when Gus comes over. That's mm-hmm. And we actually reviewed that one because they redid that one.
Right,
when they were redoing them all last summer, and they showed the missing Let's Eat Soup scene from Snow White. I think all of which at least I had seen before. Pete, had you seen them all before?
Yeah, no, I'd seen all of them. The only thing that was maybe new was when at the beginning when he had Donald and he was trying to demonstrate things. I think that was new to this episode. The other thing to mention about it is, you know, this is from season 3 of Disneyland. So I think it was 1956.
Yeah.
When this was broadcast on TV, it would have been in black and white. But Walt did a lot. He was very progressive in a lot of ways. And one of the ways he was progressive is that he actually filmed a lot of his shows in color for the eventuality of that, you know, he might be able to broadcast it someday in color. So when you're watching this, it's actually in color. But when it was originally broadcast, it was only in black and white.
But it's not something that they've colorized. It is truly, it was filmed in color. Yeah. The only thing he didn't do that on some of his more serialized TV shows. I know he did not do that on Mickey Mouse Club. Those were all filmed in black and white.
No.
Zorro was all done in black and white.
Right.
So any color Zorro stuff you see has been colorized.
Yeah, it was it wasn't all of them, because you noticed at the very end when they said next week on Disneyland.
Yeah.
And that was in black and white. So some of the episodes were in black and white. But when it was more, I think when it was more focused on animation, that he mm-hmm. produced the whole thing in color rather than have it switch between the two.
Yeah, because that would have been very, very distracting. Yeah. So, okay, let's dive into this. And Pete, we'll start with you. What about this drew you in? What worked for this episode?
Well, I think the best part of it, honestly, was the first bit when Walt is describing what the plausible impossible is, talking about how and the way so my daughter was watching this with me, and I think folks that listen to us, I've mentioned this many times before, she's an animation student, so her and my wife were both watching it, and she mentioned that you know, this is the, like, Walt held the Walt Disney's Book of Animation book. Mm-hmm. And she said that's still used today. I mean, I'm sure it's a new version, but it's still used today in training people to be animators. And a lot of the concepts that, you know, he taught he taught his animators also still apply. And this plausible impossible is one of those things she's heard of. And how she described it is really like, you're making, you want your world, you need your world to still make sense. So you can do impossible things, but they have to make sense within that world. And so I think that's what, you know, Walt was trying to get across, that you can do fantastic things, but you can't do it in like such an uncontrolled manner that it doesn't make sense. So I really liked like the early stuff where they were kind of trying to describe what it was, demonstrate it. As I said, the part with Donald Duck, where Donald Duck like came out of the drawing and crawled under his desk or his ink blotter on his desk. And I thought that stuff was really cool. As the episode went on, it did what a lot of Disneyland episodes do, which is basically turn into a clip show. Yeah. So, but, you know, it was still being narrated by Walt. So I think anytime you listen to him and he's telling how things work, I think that's a lot of fun. So what about you? What did you?
Yeah, I would like agree. I think that the Donald section was by far to me the best section, mm-hmm. because I like when they use Donald to break the fourth wall. They did it in Reluctant Dragon when they also talked about how they did some of the different animation techniques. Some of the clips made sense. The Mickey through the looking glass had a lot of the Mickey inanimate objects animated. That clip worked. I also get why they did the, to a point, I understand why they did the Gus one with the, basically just show, you know, no way someone can eat that much food all at once.
Right.
I like that it had a very specific message, that it was a very focused show. It wasn't, this is everything you need to know about animation in 50 minutes. It was taking the ordinary and pushing it beyond the level was the one thing that this show was about.
Right.
And that worked it. Because again, it was short, and the amount of time he talked, I'm guessing he probably maybe talked for 15 minutes of the show.
Probably, yeah, total.
At most.
Yeah, and he was only on screen for probably 7 or 8, and then the rest was narration.
And that's one thing, how you can tell it was an early Disneyland, is he was actually on screen that much.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times with the later Disneylands, he would simply do the opening and closing and then be done.
Right.
So yeah, I think it worked. At least that part of it worked. Now, what should have stayed impossible? They could have ditched Night on Bald Mountain, or at least a chunk of it, because that is I enjoy that section of Fantasia. It is not by far to me the best section they could have used.
No,
I personally would have used for the Possible Impossible. I do the Dance of the Hours.
Yes,
with the different zoo animals.
Right, the hippos and the
crocodiles and crocodiles. The elephants and the ostriches, which is probably my favorite set. Well, it's by far my favorite set from Fantasia.
Yeah.
But I think he wanted to end it on something a little bit more serious. It'd also be interesting to see if this came out in like October-ish, so he was trying to do a little something Halloween-y.
Right. And I don't know, because what I did think was kind of interesting of that sequence is they used that music, and I'm not going to try to remember what the name of the composer was.
It's called Night on Bald Mountain.
Well, but I don't remember the name of the composer, but they had clips of that music set to different animated, animated things. And they said how music can like set the mood or whatever. I thought that part of it was cool. Showing the entire Night on Bald Mountain thing was a little bit draggy. Yeah, for sure.
Which there's even some stuff in that I'm honestly surprised they were able to get past the TV censors back then.
Yeah. My daughter, I don't know, but she was like, are they going to show the boobies?
And they did.
Yeah.
That's always one where I'm not surprised it was in the movie part of it. I'm surprised he was able to get away with it for the TV.
Right. Yeah.
So, and it actually was broadcast on Halloween of 1956. So that probably makes sense.
That's probably why it was there. Yeah.
So, but it just, I would have liked more original content and less of the fluff. At least he didn't play Rite of Spring too much. That was short, thankfully.
Yeah.
What about
you? Yeah, and it seems like they bring that up a lot. Like almost every time you get, we end up watching something from Walt Disney, it's like, oh, let's bring out the dinosaurs. But yeah, I agree with you. I also, Gus is not a favorite short, and I kind of got why they chose it, because it made a good transition from Donald being part of the show. But you could have picked something better than that. I mean,
yeah,
you know, what they're talking about here is basically in every Disney animated short, right? The plausible impossible.
If you want to do the food, do the food scene from Mickey and the Beanstalk.
Yeah, there you go.
To me, that's because, you know, giant sized food, that's more plausibly impossible than someone just eating a ton.
Right. Yeah.
So
for sure. But okay. But yeah, it was, so it dragged towards the end, I would say. Like it was the first half was entertaining. The second half could have gotten maybe they needed to like talk about more than one. You know, I agree with you that it was nice that they focused on this one thing, but I think after a point it was okay, we get it.
And I think they could have stretched the boundaries a little more. Yes, they showed how with the characters they did it to say realistic, like with Mickey going up and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. but then show some of your characters not being done realistically. Some of your characters stretching beyond what they should be able to do.
Right. And
taking it to the next step beyond the reality.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. You and I both huge fans of all things Disney, you know, the mm-hmm. old stuff, the cartoons. What are your favorite impossibilities? What is your favorite, what I'm going to call basically a visual gag that Disney does?
Yeah. So I'm going to cheat because, you know, we always cheat. I'm going to tell you one from Disney movies, and then I'm going to tell you one from another animation company, but I think you'll appreciate it. So to me, I like the magical transformations. So I'm thinking like when Cinderella gets the ball gown and she like, and they like sprinkle the pixie dust around her and she turns into, you know, into this beautiful dress. The end of Beauty and the Beast, when the you know, you think the beast died, but then he floats up into the air and he spins around. And I like that, like to me, that kind of is part of this plausible impossible, you know, not something that happens in real life. You don't magically, your clothes don't magically transform. But I think that's a cool effect that they can do with animation, that if you tried, when you try to do it in live action, it seems a little silly. The other one I'm going to bring up is actually from Warner Brother cartoons. And I would always love, and the biggest example of this was the Daffy Duck one, when they would have someone with a pencil actually like come in and like erase and draw and everything. And then the cartoon character would interact. As I said, the most famous one was, there's a Daffy Duck one where at the end it's revealed that it's Bugs Bunny. It's doing all the stuff.
Duck Amok, probably one of my favorites.
Yeah. So, that's obviously a case of this where it's like something that's clearly impossible, but it's done in such a fun way that you're like, oh, it's completely believable. The animator is in the process of changing things as he goes. And, you know, it's not the only example. It's a great one, but they did it in other shorts too, at times. And I just, that to me was just like, so smart and clever, and work so well. So those are my two. What about you, Derek?
For me, I would say probably I've been sitting here. I love some of the stuff Chip and Dale does with Donald. Some of the, like when it's the one where he's making the breakfast and it's that rubber pancake that stretches literally all the way across the house.
Right. Yeah.
Just that kind of stuff and taking it to the extremes. or, and I know this is one of the characters that Walt hated, but some of the goofy stuff, mm-hmm. like the how to, I'm thinking specifically of the how to ski, where yep. literally he's making the marks as he goes down.
He rolls into a snowball.
Yeah. And if you want to start outside of Disney, I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to go Tom and Jerry mm-hmm, mm-hmm. with how, especially with some of the stuff Tom goes through and just some of the pain. And I mean, there's always at least, especially, you know, they run through something and it's the outline of the character.
Right.
But if you're going to go Warner Brothers for this kind of stuff, you got to go Coyote and Roadrunner.
Yeah. I was thinking of that too. Yeah. So just
the stuff. And as I said, the stuff where it's, you know, the gravity unawareness and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of this stuff. And a lot of this stuff is the reason that people like the older things is because of the visual jokes.
Right.
You don't have to have sound. You don't have to have any talking. You can make the joke visually.
Yeah. And you think about those Coyote and Roadrunners.
There's no talking.
No talking at all. And as far as impossibilities, the Coyote always had signs handy to pull yeah. out when he needed to say to say something. Yeah. Just pulled out a sign.
Well, and same thing with the Tom yeah. and Jerry cartoons. It's, you know, yep. there's no talking in those. So
yeah, the early ones, and those are the best ones with Tom and Jerry. When they got in the later years, when they started having them talk, it was like, what is this?
Yeah, it's like some of the newer, like some of the like 70s and 80s Bugs Bunny cartoons and stuff that just don't look right.
Right.
It's just, yeah. So, okay. As we always do, and I know normally this was a short episode. It was only about 45, 50 minutes, but it is put on Disney Plus as a single show. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do Cups of Pixie Dust ratings on this out of 5. Pete, what are you going to give the Plausible Impossible?
I'm going to give this a 2.5. I think it's really only for like pretty hardcore, like classic Disney fans. You know, I don't feel like there was a ton of new stuff there. There's a lot of old clips. I forgot to mention it, but I did like seeing the cell animation of the cut scene from Snow White. Yeah. I've seen that before, but I'm at the time this was like the first time it was ever shown. So I think if you're like a big Walt Disney fan,
especially of the old animations,
an old animation fan, I think it's worth seeing. If you're just more of a casual fan, I don't think this is something you need to go out of the way for. So that's why I gave it a 2.5. I was glad I watched it, but I don't think I'd go back to it. So
yeah, 2.5 for me. And that's where I'm at. I'm at a 2.5 also, just as you said.
Yeah.
Something I'm glad I watched once. The only thing I can say in the defense of reusing like some of the Fantasia clips is those weren't replayed a lot. It's not like you can go queue it yeah. up on demand back in the 50s. It's, oh my gosh, what is this clip? Oh my gosh, now I want to go see this movie.
Well, so. And you know, you're a little younger than me, but like I remember watching, you know, growing up watching The Wonderful World of Disney on Sunday nights, and that was the only way you watched those shorts, except for every 7 years when they put it back in the movie theater.
Right. Which I am so young enough. I do remember some of The Wonderful World of Disney, probably not as much as you do, but I do still remember that them re-releasing the different movies. You'd usually have a summer release and a Christmas release in addition to something new.
Yep.
Although in the 80s, you wouldn't. It would just be summer and Christmas.
Yeah. They kept doing that through the 80s and maybe even into the early 90s. They were still re-releasing them to theaters.
Yeah,
I think it stopped right around 1990.
Yeah, it 90 to 92. Once they started actually producing animated movies that were worth watching.
Right.
So basically Little Mermaid forward.
Yeah.
So, and that's when the VHS sales really took off.
Right.
So, okay. We have a ton. It's too bad Kate's not here because we have a ton of Disney Plus news this week because we had the D23 convention. And so they announced a lot of different things for Disney Plus news. So the first thing I have, just because it happened to be the first one I saw, these are in no particular order. Star Wars Skeleton Crew will premiere on Disney Plus December 3rd with a 2-episode debut. This is the Jude Law series. It's going to be him and a bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the trailer for it?
That trailer I did not have time to watch.
They talked about it being, everybody compares, it seems like everybody that wants something with a bunch of kids, they compare it to the Goonies. But it definitely felt different than other Star Wars stories, because it was focused mainly on this group of kids. And you know me, I'm a big Star Wars fan, but I also want differences in my Star Wars, and I also miss humor in Star Wars, and I'm not sure that's what they're going for, but I'm hoping they're going to make it a little more, you know, fun and humorous rather than the, you know,
super serious
dourness of a lot of Star Wars now.
Also in the Star Wars universe, the confirmation that Andor season 2 will debut at some point next year. It's been filmed. It's 12 episodes over 4 years. Each 3-episode block is a year. Basically leads directly up to Rogue One. This is not stuff we didn't already know, but they confirmed it will launch in 2025.
Yep.
Next, a preview of Ironheart was given at D23. Follows Riri Williams, which is the girl from Black Panther, the tech girl for Black Panther. She works with a suit basically similar to Iron Man's, but a whole lot more technologically advanced. She will be in with the Young Avengers.
Right.
Yeah. That's where that one's going to be headed. 2-episode premiere was also confirmed for Agatha All Along on September 18th. Series will follow Agatha and her quest to regain her powers, since Wanda stole them at the end of WandaVision. And watching the new trailer on that, there are a ton of allusions to Wizard of Oz. So I think they're going to keep the whole nods to the different TV shows in each episode, or even witch movies. Because I mean, they had the Fargo/X-Files with her walking up. The crime procedural drama they've got. Mm-hmm. So, and it doesn't look as scary as the first trailer came out.
Yeah. To.
And it's a musical. Apparently there's going to be it's going to be done as a musical type series. So,
well, I think with WandaVision, there's going to be several songs in it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be truly musical.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the premise there is, you know, because at the end of WandaVision, she had her memory wiped, right? So I think that initially she's going to still be in this town, and she's going to be a crime investigator. So I think that first episode will be kind of as you say, X-Files or something like that.
And she'll be having flashbacks and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely felt. Because the first trailer, when that came out, I was like, oh, Derek's not going to like this show. But I got a better feeling from this one.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah. So, also Marvel, Daredevil Born Again will debut in March of 2025. This series, what kind of a reboot of sorts, has 98% of the main characters from the Netflix series. They announced that the series will have a minimum of 2 seasons. To be perfectly honest, guys, how much we cover this will determine on how bloody it is. I have not watched the original Daredevil series, but from everything I've heard from you and heard from Kate, if I don't like blood and gore and such, I'm not going to like this.
The Daredevil series, I never made it through the whole thing, but we did watch the first 2 seasons. It's not that bad. The series that was bad was the Punisher.
Punisher, yeah.
Yeah. It's bloody, but PG-13 bloody, not R bloody.
Not Deadpool bloody. Okay.
No.
There are a few things are Deadpool bloody.
Yeah, really.
On to Pixar. Pixar's first original series, Win or Lose, is debuting December 6th. I'm willing to give this one a shot just because it's something completely original.
Yeah.
It follows basically a youth softball team as they go through, and there's some hints of different, you know, different powers maybe that the kids have, or it's done like, you know, kids' imaginations run wild or that kind of thing. So I'm really interested to see where this one goes.
Now, this has been hanging out there for
like 2-3 years,
yeah. Right? I mean, I think it was originally supposed to. Yeah. Yes. They announced it a long time ago, and a couple of times they've re-announced it. And so it's finally coming out. Anything Pixar does, I look forward to. Their track record of late has not been great, but they've still, we haven't covered Inside Out 2, but it's a great movie. So they can still get do magic. So I'll give it a chance for sure. We definitely gotta cover that.
Yeah. Definitely cover it. I do know that the first two episodes were shown at D23. I have not necessarily seen reviews of those.
I haven't seen anything either. Yeah.
You know, we'll see how it goes. Also, Pixar will be bringing what they're calling Dream Factory to Disney Plus in 2025. Basically, it's going to take place between 1 and 2 of Inside Out. And there's a little clip of basically the little people inside her head that create her dreams.
Right.
And like the TV show, the TV studio that they use to make her dreams. It's going to follow that. I think that could get really old really fast. I think they're going to have really hugely different types of dreams.
My suspicion is this is more like Doug Days, though. I think it's going to be like 5-6 minute episodes. I think it is. Yeah. Because I don't think it would work as a, 22 minute series every time. I think it is going to be shorts. They're not saying that, but that's my suspicion.
Okay.
And I think that could work.
That could work. Yeah. If it's only like 4 or 5 minutes, that could work. If it's the longer setup where, this is what she's feeling. Okay. This is how we got to set up the stage. Okay. That's going to get old.
Right.
So, Percy Jackson season 2 is officially in production. This is going to follow the second book, at least in the general premise that there's 2 books of Percy Jackson. From what I've heard, a lot of people are not happy with the direction the second season is taking. Think of it like there are almost as many people who loved Harry Potter as love the Percy Jackson. Followers are hugely rabid. Mm-hmm. I think a good Percy Jackson series of movies could have been very successful. The reason it wasn't is the first one stunk.
Right.
And it didn't follow the book very close. Harry Potter is so successful because it follows the books. So, but I think, we watched season 1 of that and it was okay.
It was good. It was fine. It wasn't, it wasn't anything world beating or anything, but I enjoyed it. I have no idea how close it was to the book, though.
Steve and Gina would be able to tell us a little bit more about that one when they come back on, so we'll make sure we ask them.
Okay.
From National Geographic, David Blaine, Do Not Attempt, will come to the service in 2025. It follows the magician around the world as he attempts various different tricks at different sites. I know he did some kind of a card trick with everyone in the arena at D23. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what it was. I haven't seen it. Again, to me, magicians are one of those, I can take them in limited quantities, but...
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of David Blaine, but...
Yeah. For Simpsons fans, announced that the series is going to put 4 episodes this season exclusively on Disney Plus, including a two-part Christmas episode. So...
I keep thinking there's still people that watch new episodes of The Simpsons, but I guess there are.
There are, apparently. It's definitely season 36 or something like that now.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And last and probably not least, the Frozen stage musical has been filmed and will be released on the service in 2025. A presentation will be very, very similar to how Hamilton was done several years ago. So, I mean, that is a cheap moneymaker for Disney and get to get people to stay on or sign up is
right.
They already own the property. They already own the Frozen musical. So it didn't only cost them enough money to, you know, go film it for like 3 nights.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Is that even still, I guess it might be still touring. I think it left Broadway.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
It wasn't the hit they wanted it to be for sure.
No, it was no Lion King.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what you get when you get a story primarily focused around one song. I mean, yeah. Let's be honest. So, speaking of movies that have multiple songs, next week we are going to go way back into the vault to watch the short production of Melody Time.
Ooh, interesting.
It is from the 1940s. This was this time where right after the war, basically Walt would take like 4 or 5 different short cartoons and shove them all together and put them out. This one this is the one with Pecos Bill in it. This one has Little Toot. Go ahead.
About 10 Little Toot jokes went through my mind, but I'll...
Yeah, thank you for not.
I'll refrain.
Yeah, so it's got Bumblebee, it's got Johnny Appleseed in it. Mm-hmm. It's got the Blame It on the Samba. So Donald and Jose Karaoke, it's the one where they chase around the little redheaded bird. So I will be honest, this is not the primary one that I was looking for. I was honestly looking for Make My Music. Make My Music is not on Disney Plus.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because
I believe I have Make My Music on DVD, but I do not have Melody Time. So
I know I have Make My Music on a DVD upstairs.
Yeah. Is that the one with Jiminy Cricket hosting?
No, you're thinking of Fun and Fancy Free.
Fun and Fancy Free. Yeah. So back in the 40s when the war was going on and the studio was really struggling, they didn't have the money to put out full length animated films. And so I think a lot of these shorts were original to these films,
yeah,
but it was still cheap. They were cheaper to produce. They weren't of the quality that you think of, like Bambi and, you know, Dumbo and all those. But yes, I think Saludo Amigos and Three Caballeros, I would kind of put in there too. Yeah,
definitely.
They call them package films, right? And I think they finally.
Peter Pan kind of put an end to them.
I was going
to
say, I thought it was Cinderella was first.
Yeah, Cinderella, yeah.
Yeah. And the one before Cinderella was actually Ichabod and Mr. Toad, which was only 2 stories.
Fun and Fancy Free. Fun and Fancy Free is only Bongo and Mickey and the Beanstalk.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because it's only like 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
Make My Music is what I wanted because it has the Martins and McCoys. Basically, mm-hmm. Have McCoy. It's got all the cats join in. The one where the sock hop kids all going through and it's Benny Goodman doing it. Has Casey at the Bat. Which is a great one.
Right.
Has the original Peter and the Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And it has Johnny Fedora and Alice Blue Bonnet, which I remember. And sure, had the whale who wanted to sing at the Met.
The Met, yeah.
That
all those, I remember all having all those like golden books of those different ones when I was a kid.
And one of these times we're gonna go through and find. Like everyone's going to go pick out like their favorite old cartoon that they remember. And we're just going to do our own package show. We're going to have those different ones. And that's what we'll talk about. I'm thinking things like Lambert, the Sheepish Lion and the little blue coop that goes around. And actually that one's not, is that one in Melody Time? It might be. Hold on. Pecos Bill, Blame It on the Samba, Trees, Little Toot, Johnny Appleseed, Bumble Boogie, and Once Upon a Wintertime. So, no. But there's so many, like The Little House that basically goes through its ages and fights against being in the city. There's so many of these old ones that are not on Disney Plus. And it's just, I don't understand why they're not.
Right.
It cannot be that expensive to scan in your negative, scan in your film and go.
Yeah. So we're doing, we're not doing Make Mine Music though. We're doing Melody Time.
We are doing Melody Time. Yes. Cause it's the one that's on Disney Plus.
Gotcha.
The different three Caballeros and those kind of things we may throw in later,
I still think we should do, there's a documentary called Walt and El Grippo.
Yes.
Which is about the trip that he undertook for the U.S. government to South America and led to Saludos Amigos and Three Caballeros. But one of them was very, I think Saludos Amigos was very specific to that trip. It would be an interesting thing to do for us to watch either in the same episode or two consecutive episodes to watch Walt and El Grupo and then Saludos Amigos.
And
I think it would be an interesting discussion.
We don't have much coming up over the next couple months. I mean, we've got the series coming up, but not anything, no big movies that we know of. So
yeah, Disney's just
coasting.
I think they've really cut their budget for what they are spending on Disney Plus, and there's just not a lot of series coming out or not a lot of movies. I've always been of the thought that they should be like, why aren't they making they should have like a DCOM every month come out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the Disney movie of the week that they had on Disney, like they had on Disney Channel, and not all of them are going to hit. That's how it worked on Disney Channel, but they're low budget. You know, they're like $15 million movies. And then every once in a while you get one that really catches fire. Even that Descendants 4 one that was a couple weeks ago, which we do not want to do because it was terrible.
No.
I watched it with my daughter and it was bad.
Oh,
I
lost that.
Yeah, it was, you know, and I mean, I don't love the Descendants movies, but the first one is much, much better than that was. Okay. But for sure. So so I'd be all up for doing more of the stuff. So
yeah, definitely. Guys, if you have suggestions on what we should watch, email us at plusfortune@gmail.com, message us everywhere. Guys, if you want to know what we thought about all of the parks stuff that came out, we actually did a live show on Saturday. I will tell you, Skip, about the first 40 to 45 minutes of it, because it took them that long to actually get into it. But once they started coming out, we were pretty darn honest on what we thought was going to happen.
Yep.
And of course, we skipped the last thing that they announced. The one more thing with Villains Land. But I mean, we can do it. Real quick thought, Pete, on Villains Land.
I thought when they made that announcement, I thought, oh, he lied to us about everything not being blue sky, because that's
pretty darn blue sky.
That was pretty darn blue sky. I mean, you know, maybe standing there on that stage, they intend to do it, but they gave us no information and
it gets done after everything else.
Yeah, I think it's
what their budget's at.
I think it's 5 to 7 years off if it happens.
If it happens, yeah. The only thing I will say is they've actually filed two different sets of permits at Magic Kingdom. They filed one set of permits to get rid of the gravel lots and to get rid of the Rivers of America. And then today they actually filed another set of permits for Beyond the Berm. So
yeah, I mean I hope they genuinely I always hope they genuinely do it, but you know, I've watched enough of these D23 presentations to not have complete faith that everything that they say is going to happen is going to happen. So I think that one's the most bit. Yeah. The most, if anything, get delayed or changed or downgraded or something.
Yeah.
So
okay.
And I'll be honest, I think it'll depend on how much Epic Universe hurts them.
That's fair, because Epic Universe has a villains area.
Yep.
So
I think if they see a big hit next year from Epic Universe opening, because they didn't really see it. I mean, for all the crowds that went to see Harry Potter,
they didn't see it from Islands Adventure.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, it helped Universal, but it didn't really hurt Disney significantly. And, you know, they had a little bit of a dip right when it first opened. But otherwise, you know, it brought people to Florida. And after they spent 2 days at Universal, they came over to Disney. Yeah.
And
this to me is legit. Universal is a week long stay
with
Epic Universe.
Okay. I think, as we said, I think Disney is legitimately scared, nervous about the Epic Universe. And I think they also think there's something coming out in California. So I think that's why they're doing some of the extra rides out there, is they're trying to be proactive out there. But I also know, let's be honest, people will always want to go to Disney. I mean,
yeah. Disney's not in trouble in any way, but I think they're just concerned about what Epic Universe could do to their bottom line. And I think, you know, and I've said this elsewhere, that also I think all along they were like, well, we can't compete with that opening
right
year, you know. So that's what all this is about, is we need stuff to compete with it after year, you know, two. So yeah, that's why we got things opening in 2027, 2028, 2029. That's when we want to be blitzing, when Epic Universe is old news. So I think that's their strategy. And as I said, I think Villains Land happens
if
Epic Universe affects their bottom line.
Yeah, I would agree. We don't have an opening date for that yet, do we?
Nope, we have nothing. They haven't strictly said they're going to start construction on it.
No. Epic Universe.
The only thing we know is sometime next year.
The hotels are opening in January, yeah, February, which tells me the park's not going to be far behind.
Yeah, they were originally saying it would be open by, or someone in their system said it was going to be open by May or before summer. And now they're saying summer. So,
okay,
it's sometime mid-year next year. We don't, they haven't really given a date, but it'll be open next year for sure.
Yeah.
So it's well along. And the stuff they've shown is definitely an impressive bunch of stuff at that park.
I mean, for sure. Let's be honest, that Donkey Kong coaster that jumps the tracks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one of, they're going to do what now? Who knows if you and I can actually fit on those rides?
But yeah, good old Universal, right?
Yeah. So anyway, so as I said, if you want to know what we thought about all the other Disney stuff, go watch us. As I said, skip about the first 40 to 45 minutes. That's when they really started getting onto it. But we have new episodes coming out Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. Pete, thank you so much for being able to be on this week.
And we'll see. And next week, everybody's going to be back. So we haven't lost Kate.
I know everyone's going to be back.
Yeah. Yeah. They're coming back.
So with that, guys, we will say, see you next week. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcast and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.